Well, the garlands are out. Wreaths are placed on doors. Lights are in places they aren't normally are. Yeah, they aren't normally. See trees riding on tops of cars from the hardware store to people's homes. Kind of a strange sight when you think about it. It's that time of year when people who hate winter are hoping for a little bit of snow, and even otherwise irreligious people have become downright traditional in this time, because it's a time when we're all traditional. It's a time rich in memory. We're all trying to recapture some of that magic that we experienced in our youth. As our video said at the beginning of Mass, it's a time of nostalgia, a time when the delight of returning to those memories and trying to reproduce them for ourselves and for our children is also mixed with something bittersweet. Because in the midst of trying to return to those memories, we also recognize that there's something we've lost, something we need to come back to because we don't have it anymore, something we can't quite sustain. Children, of course, they don't know nostalgia. They remember good Christmases past, and they look forward to this next one with even more joy and expectation because they're confident that it will be good. Even if they've already known hardship and suffering in their lives, children have this amazing capacity to persevere in the strength of their hope, the strength of their optimism, their confidence that the future will be good. And isn't that one of the great graces of youth? That when we're young, we can look out upon our lives and see it unfolded before us, confident that there's a story in which we're called to take up our part, a story that will make sense, a drama and an adventure in which we're called to be the heroes. But if I dared to poll the adults in this room, which I must number myself now, I suppose, would we say that we still have that same confidence in the future? The same conviction that our life is a story that makes perfect sense, and we can see ourselves as a hero of the great adventures that we used to dream about? Or, given the disappointments of life, the sacrifices we've had to make with our commitments, our own mistakes that have changed our course, have we not learned to tamp down a bit of our expectation, to hope for things maybe a little more realistic? It's part of the reason we're nostalgic in this season, because we look back to that time of our youth when we had a future, when we had confidence. And we're not sure anymore if we can make sense of our lives, where we've come from, where we're going, or who we are. That past in which we had a future is gone, and the past that we do have is also complicated. We're nostalgic. It's why certain tunes, certain movies, certain stories can strike us to the heart, almost make us want to weep sometimes, because they have a way of cutting through all of our barriers and hitting us right in that place that yearns for our youth again. I bring up this issue of nostalgia because I think it can give us a nice entry into what's plaguing, what's hurting the prophet Isaiah in our first reading today. Because he too is expressing a certain nostalgia for the past of Israel, the history of Israel. Israel is so soaked in its memory of its early days when it walked so closely with its God, and it knew God's fatherhood and care for it by the great and mighty deeds that he worked for them. The great and mighty deeds with mountains quaking, which were wrought in awesome wonder that no one could hope for, which were never heard of from of old. When the powerful hand and arm outstretched, he led them forth with great signs and wonders out of slavery in Egypt, when he parted the Red Sea, when he met them in fire and cloud and earthquake on the mountain, when he continued to lead them into their promised land. Israel has this great memory of its youth when the future was wide open for it. But Isaiah is lamenting because he knows that as the centuries passed, Israel fell away from that closeness with its Lord, turned to idols, to sins, to treaties with other nations, nations which would eventually betray them and leave them in a desperate situation. So Isaiah yearns for the days of Israel's youth. He says, "You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. You are named forever. So why then, Lord, do you let us wander? Why do you let us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so that we do not fear you? Would that you might meet us doing right and that we were mindful of your ways." Yeah, see, Isaiah, he shows us really the deepest roots of our nostalgia. Because deep down in our hearts, each one of us has a memory of that time in distant history when our first parents walked with the Lord in the garden. When Adam and Eve were innocent. When the whole future of the world opened up before them with great promise. And yet we know how far we've fallen from that place, how our sins, our mistakes, how so many twisted paths have led us to a far different place. And don't we yearn for that youth? When we see something beautiful, doesn't it remind us sometimes of that glory that we were made for? And it doesn't it make our hearts ache a little bit for what we were supposed to have? We're nostalgic. We know God made us for great things, and yet we're not sure if they can still be accomplished. And so Isaiah issues this great plea, this great cry to his Lord. O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down, with mountains quaking before you. Well, you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for, such that they had not heard from of old. Do we have this confidence, brothers and sisters, that God wants to give us a future again? That he wants to make sense of our lives? That his mercies are not yet spent? That he has yet more he wants to do for us? This is why it's so important, so crucial, that our gospel this evening points us not to the past, but to the future. Jesus says, "Watch. You do not know the hour that the Master is coming, and you want to be ready for him. Watch, for the Lord is still coming. He did not just come once many thousands of years ago. Although he did come then, that's not all he does. He will come again, and not just at the end of history, though he will certainly come then, but also in the future of each one of our lives. God wants to come. He wants to set us in order with redemption for his people. He wants to give us a future again. And this Advent, we're invited to make our hearts ready for him, ready for his coming, in confidence that no matter what is in our past, no matter how many twists and turns it's taken, no matter how many sins, no matter how much guilt, nevertheless, his mercies are not spent. Nothing's beyond his power. He comes to give us a future, to make sense of our past. And so he says, watch, be ready, and prepare your hearts with that yearning for the Lord's coming that Isaiah had. We can make his prayer our own. O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Show us your glory. Show us your power once more. Give us that confidence in you, that you are the God of the past and of the future, and that you have a plan for our lives. Come, Lord Jesus.